2 Kings chapter 4. I want to begin there in verse 38. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to begin there in verse 38 this morning. As I said, praise the Lord for all the good singing. We have got our hearts prepared and ready. And so now as we open up the Word of God, let's pray and ask that God would help us to listen to that which He needs to speak to our hearts about this morning. And so as we begin here in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38, I entitled this message, "There's Death in the Pot." There's death in the pot. One of the things that I think we can obviously see and understand today is that we are living in a society where, and of course have been for a long time, where the devil's doing everything he can to make good use out of our ignorance. Amen? To make good use out of our ignorance, the things that we don't know, things that we don't understand, things we haven't seen. And when we look around today, we can just kind of see how the world's going, the direction that it's taken. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And as we understand that, of course, you continue on in that verse, and he talks about how God's people have gotten away from His laws, God's people have gotten away from His commandments, gotten away from His Word. And because of that, we can see that evil and sin had crept in, and the devil has made short work of the people and had led them further away from God. And because of that, as we even begin here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we begin there in verse 38, as we begin this text, we can see and understand there's a famine that has taken place. And because of that, there's a famine there for the sole reason and purpose because God's people had gotten away from the true words of God. And so God had brought a famine among the place, among the city there and among the area. And listen, let us also understand, the Bible says, blessed be the nation whose God is the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you're America, if you're Israel, or anybody like that. You get away from God, you start going in the direction of this world, you start following the devil, you're going to suffer. And it doesn't matter for America or anybody else. We get away from God, we're going to hurt. And so the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we can see here in verse 38 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings that this nation, the nation of Israel, had gotten away from God. Because of that, God had brought in a famine upon the land. And there were some things that began to happen. And I want us to look specifically at just one instance that was taking place here as we see this famine had come upon the land. And as I said, the devil takes advantage of all of our ignorance today. And we're ignorant of the scriptures, and we don't know what the Bible says, and we get further away from God. We talked in Sunday school this morning. As a matter of fact, that the Holy Spirit, one of His goals is to help us to be, to every day, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, to be more conformed to the image of Christ every single day. But when we get away from that, listen, the devil's doing everything he can. This world with its own ideology and its own philosophy is doing everything it can to distort and disrupt the hearts and minds of the people of our nation and all across this world and pull them further away, deeper into sin, into a depraved mind, and to get them as far away from Christ as possible. And we're living in a society today that we're doing things now and allowing things and believing in things that we probably never thought in a million years that we would ever see in our lifetime. But today we have even our public schools, you got furries and fuffies and fluffies and everything else. I mean, you got all different kinds of things that's going on in society today, not just there, but everywhere else in our society. We got all kinds of things that are happening and taking place. And we as a people, we got to understand that the devil takes advantage of the fact that God's people, even God's people, don't know what they're doing. And even God's people don't know what they're talking about. And so the Bible says that we study to make to show ourselves approved unto God. And so what we need to do is make sure that we are equipped as a people that we know what the Bible says. We stand on the authority of God's Word, not man's opinion, but we stand on the infallibility of God's Word, and we preach it and we teach it with love and compassion, but we also do it with the understanding of who we are as a people, that listen, we're sinners as well, but what we want to do is we want to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and do what we can to teach people the truth of God's Word so that they can see where they are at and come to a saving knowledge of Christ and grow in the grace and knowledge of His Word. But as we begin here in chapter 4, and we begin there in verse 38, let's pull out some things I think will be a blessing to you, because we understand that the Bible tells us that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's going to take hold and take down those that don't know his word, those that are in a state of confusion, those that are weak. And so we got to make sure as God's people that we don't let the devil take an advantage of our situation and where we're at. But be sober, be vigilant, the Bible says, submit yourself to God. And so there in verse 38, let's take a look at some things we can understand about his word today. The Bible says Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And as we begin there in verse 38, one of the things I want us to see is that we see that there is a famine in the land. This famine was so bad, the Bible calls it a dearth. Now you just take one letter out of that, and what do you got? You got death. It was so bad that what we see is that this famine, it was people were literally dying. Everything was dying out. People were dying. Plants were dying. Animals were dying. Everything was dying out. And there in verse 38, the Bible says that Elisha, he came to Gilgal. And in the scriptures, the place of Gilgal, you go all the way back to the book of Joshua, and it is supposed to be symbolizing a place of renewing, a place of starting over, or freshness, or even a place of rest. But whenever he come to Gilgal, it was all but that. And so he got there, it was a place of death. It was a place of famine and dearth in the land. And the Bible says the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. That's your that would be your Old Testament version of your preacher's school. And so there they got the sons of the prophets, and they're sitting there with Elisha. And the Bible says Elisha said to his servant, he says, set on the great pot and see the pottage for the sons of the prophets. There in verse 39, as we get started, the Bible says, and one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. What I want you to see there in verse 39 is we can understand. Notice the Bible says, and one went out. You know, the Bible says, the Bible tells us that there's one sinner destroyeth much good. And sometimes all it takes is one. And what we can see right here is that the Bible says that this man went out. He went out into the field, and he went out to gather herbs. Now, this man had good intentions. He wasn't out there. Man, he was a preacher of the Lord. He was sitting there in front of Elisha. He was trying to learn things from him. He was in the school of the prophets, one of the sons of the prophets, learning from Elisha himself. And so he goes out. He has good intentions. His intentions isn't to hurt anyone. His intentions isn't to harm anyone. But he goes out there. He's on a specific mission to find some food that they can put in this pot so that they can all eat. And the Bible says there in the text that one went out. That's very important. Remember this now. That one went out into the field. Now, we think about the field, and we in the symbolism of the scriptures, the field is a representation of the world. Now, let me go ahead and tell you this. Now, there's not many good things you're going to find out here in this world worth ingesting. Amen. I mean, there is next to nothing out here in this world that you're going to find in your life that is going to do you any good whatsoever. But that's what he did. I mean, there was a famine in the land, and so he went out there to try to find something good. Listen, I think there's a lot of people here today in the churches all across America. They're looking for something right. They're looking for something good. They can't find it nowhere. They're looking for a preacher that'll preach the Bible, that'll preach on sin. They're looking for a church that'll follow the Lord and follow the doctrines of Christ. They're looking for a people. They're looking for a Savior. They're looking for all these things, but because they can't find it, they're going out here in this world and they're gathering up all these other things, and it's destroying their families and destroying their life. It wasn't just yesterday. I'm talking just yesterday. I had some lady come up to me, and she says, "Preacher, would you pray for some friends of mine?" I said, "Yes, I sure will." And she said, I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Well," she said, "these people that I know and love," she said, "they've gotten, her husband got into this place. The church had split up, and this church, this guy at work invited him to come over. And as soon as she said, I've never even heard the church, but she said one word, she said one word to that church, and I automatically knew just because of the word that I heard that it was going to be far out there. And so she said, "Man, he got in this church, these people have just twisted his mind, and his whole family's falling apart. They're all acting up." She said, "This of the devil. Would you pray for him?" I said, "I sure will." And she was just telling me about all these different things. Listen, I'm telling you, just because a church has a steeple doesn't mean that it's a Bible-believing preaching church.
And I'm just trying to get, listen, these people out here, they are searching, they are looking for something, but the devil's taking advantage of the lack of our knowledge. He's taking advantage of the lack of our spiritual discernment in our life to lead our families and know what's true and right, and to know the right, correct doctrines of God, that people out there that have even grown up in church all their life, because they're not growing in the grace and knowledge of God, man, they are making they're turning their life and their family into a complete disaster. And we as God's people, man, we got to make sure that we are understanding of what the Bible says. And here in this text, the Bible says there in verse 39 that this one man, he went out into the field. And when he went out there, the Bible says he went out there to gather herbs. He was looking for something good. He was looking for something that would be helpful. He was looking for something that would be beneficial, not just to him, but to everybody else. But when he got out there, the Bible doesn't say that he came back with any herbs as we continue reading. But when he got out there in the world, he did find something. And the Bible says he went out there and he found a wild vine. Now that wild vine there would symbolize sin and symbolize corruption throughout the world. It would symbolize all the worldly sinfulness and wickedness that's out there. And he went out into the field, which is the world. He went out there to find something good. He couldn't find it, but he did find something. Listen, I can tell you what, if you're looking for something, you'll find something. If you're looking for something, you will find something. It may not always be what you're looking for, but you will find something. And the devil will do everything he can to push all kinds of stuff in your path so that you'll find that which he desires for you to have. And he went out there into the world and to try to find something good. The Bible says he found a wild vine. Notice this was just one man. And he went out and he found this wild vine. And notice what happened. The Bible says, and he gathered thereof the wild gourds. Watch this now. It's lap full. Did you know that this world out here, listen, you can come out here and find your lap full of all kinds of things. Now you can come out here in this world and you can, you can find your whole lap full of all kinds of sin, all kinds of unrighteousness, all kinds of evil and wickedness. You don't have to go very far. Walk right outside that door right there and you won't go very far and you'll find all the sinfulness and wickedness and evilness that your heart would ever, that you could ever even conceive of and imagine of. And the Bible says he went out there in the world and what did he do? He found his lap full of wild gourds. He went out here in this world, he found his lap full of evilness and wickedness and sinfulness. You know what he did? He brought it back. He brought it back to everybody. But you know what? Everybody was, they didn't know what it was. And this one man, he went out there and he brought all these wild things back. And the Bible says when he got back, they cut it all up and they put it in the pot. The devil takes advantage of our lack of knowledge and understanding. When we don't know what things are, listen, we'll bring all kinds of things home. Now, he didn't have bad intentions. Now, his intentions were good. He went out there with the intention on doing right. He went out there with the intention on being a blessing. He went out there with the intention on feeding everybody. He had good intentions. No, nothing bad about it whatsoever. But when he went out there, because of his lack of understanding and knowledge of what was out there in the world, he brought it back home, and he brought it back home to all of his family and his friends. All of them, too, that were starving and looking for something. All of them too that needed nourishment in their lives. And the Bible says there in verse 39 that he went out to the field, he found a wild vine, he gathered the wild gourds, his lap full. Listen, the devil always makes sure that when you go out into the world, he'll give you everything that he can possibly give you. I mean, he'll give you everything. He'll give you a lap full. He'll give you pockets full. He'll give you a car full. He'll give you a buggy full. He'll give you a trailer full. He'll do everything he can to get you to bring all that junk back into your house for the sole purpose of doing what? To lead you further away from God. To lead you further away into depravity, or to lead you further away from salvation if you're lost. To lead you further away from that which God desires for you in your life. And listen, I'm not just a loudmouth preacher up here just trying to tell you my own opinion and thought. Listen, I'm telling you this morning from the very word of God, there's a devil out here that despises you, to care less about you, he can care less about your kids and your family. All he desires is to pull you as far away from him as he can and pull your children down with him. That's all he desires to do. And the Bible shows this right here in the text that he brought it back. Now his intentions were good, but he still brought all this stuff back. That's why I'm telling you this morning that as God's people, we have to understand and to see the things that we're allowing into our own life, the things that we're allowing into our own home, because we can look at it and say, oh, well, this ain't no big deal, and it's just this or it's just that. But I tell you what, sometimes you don't see the effects and know exactly what's happening until you get down to the very end of it, and you look back and you say, wow, how in the world did this happen? And you begin to trace it all the way back down, and you see it's because I brought this in. because I brought this sin. And listen, it'll come up on you. You won't even expect it. You won't be looking for it. It'll seem like it's nothing. It'll just kind of creep in. And next thing you know, it's got a hold of you. And the devil's got your family. Done made a mess out of everything. And the Bible says there in verse 39, he went out there and he got his lap full. And he came and shred them into the pot of pottage. For they knew him not. He went and got his lap full of all that the world had, and he had no idea. Listen, you know, the devil, the Bible says that the devil is an angel of light. Disguises himself as an angel of light, and he says, and be not surprised that his ministers are also angels of light as well. That as they go out into the world, that they go out as ministers of light, but they're not. The Bible shows us right here in this text, this one man went out. Gathered all this stuff up and he brought it back, his lap full. He really thought he had something. He really thought he grabbed a hold of something. But I tell you what, the devil's a master deceiver. He's a master deceiver. He is sly and he is cunning. And he'll do everything he can to paint something up, make it look good. He'll do everything he can to decorate it with bells and whistles, and do everything he can to decorate it with what you think is right and what you like. And the next thing you know, you get it home. You ever heard that song, I'm going to bring Forrest Gump into this. Remember that saying in Forrest Gump, that movie long time ago, he says, life is like a box of chocolates. Never know what you're going to get. You ever opened up a box of chocolates and you say, I wonder what this is? And then you take a bite and you're like, I don't like that. Anybody testify with me on that? I ain't the only one in here, right? You bit into that chocolate and you said, yeah, no, I don't like that. Listen, the devil, but when you looked at the outside, man, I tell you what, it sure did look good, didn't it? And maybe even did this. You pulled it out of the box and you said, you smelt it, you looked at it, you said, yeah, I might like this. Next thing you know, you bit into it and you about threw up and gagged yourself because it tastes so awful. You know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, the devil does the same exact thing. He'll paint it up and doll it up and prep it up, and he'll do everything he can to make it look as good as possible. Get you to think that that's something that you really like. Get you to think that's something you really want. And then you bring it home, and you know what it becomes? It becomes death in the pot. It destroys your life. It destroys your family. And you look around and you say, what in the world is going on? But he did this with good intentions. He went out there with good intentions to bring back a blessing and to help everyone. But because he didn't know what he was bringing back, because he didn't understand, because he got his lap full, and he thought, man, I've really got it today. I've really hit the mother load this morning. And he brought it back, and it was all but, if it wasn't for the grace of God, and if it wasn't for some discernment of some of the other men, they may have all died. And the Bible shows us right here in the text. In verse 39, he says he got his lap full. He came, shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. And there in verse 40, the Bible says they poured out for the men to eat. And notice, as we've kind of stated already, they poured this out. It was for the men to eat. They were all eating out of the same pot. They were all eating out of the same pot. They were all eating the same food. They were all ingesting the same thing. So that just goes to show you that what you bring to the table doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody else. As we constantly say all the time, the Bible says no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And the Bible shows us here in verse 40 that goes to the idea of understanding that the decisions that we make don't just affect us. One sinner destroyeth much good. And that's exactly what was happening right here. This man, the devil was taking advantage of this man that because he didn't understand, because he didn't know, it became a disadvantage to them all. And the Bible says in verse 40 that he poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass that as they were eating the pottage that they cried out. And that's interesting there for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's interesting that we can see that they cried out. Listen, you know, isn't that what happens whenever we take a bite out of this world and you find out that that's not something that you really wanted? I mean, it seemed like something you want. It looked like something you might want. But you know what? Until it became a part of them, they didn't realize that this was something that I do not want. But it looked like something that they wanted. I mean, it looked like it would be something that was good. I mean, they desired it. They were looking at it. They were all hungry. Listen, the devil will take advantage of your position in life too. Well, when was it that the devil came to the Lord Jesus there in the wilderness? It wasn't whenever the Lord was fasting for one day, but after he had fasted for 40 days. And whenever he had fasted for 40 days, what did the devil do? He come to the Lord Jesus and he said, command these stones that they be made bread. He knew that the Lord Jesus was hungry. He had been 40 days since Christ had eaten. He was God, but he was also a man. And so there he was, his body desired food, his body desired nourishment. And the devil came to him when he was at his weakest in his flesh and told him to command the stones be made bread. Oh, you know you can do it. Take advantage of your strength. Take advantage of the power. Take advantage of the fact that you're God in the flesh. And of course he didn't. But I'm just trying to use that to say this one, the devil will take advantage of your position in life, whether it's strong or whether it's weak, whether you're in your high time or low time, it don't matter. Listen, you, just because you're on a mountaintop in your life, you just put yourself in a prime position for the devil to look at you. Amen? That's what, let's understand that. Don't think that just because I'm on the mountaintop, don't think that just because I'm up here, they can't nothing get me. Don't think just because I'm up here that everything's going to be all right, because it's not. You just put yourself, listen, I ain't trying to scare you this morning to say, well, I don't ever want to get on top. Listen, we trust in God, amen? We trust in God. We put our faith in him. I'm just trying to get you to see that no matter where you're at in your life, whether you're in the valley or on the mountain, the devil has a target on you. And so, as we see here, this man there in verse 40, the Bible says that they poured out to the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the potters, they cried out. There's a cry of sorrow. There's an amount of maybe even possibility, a cry of fear. Listen, you start taking bites out of this world and you figure out it's not what you wanted, and you start seeing the results of your decisions. And you ever seen the results of your decisions? You think, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That's exactly right. You start seeing the results of the decisions that you made, and it could be perhaps that the decision that you made was a decision based out of fear. It could have been a decision that was based out of sorrow. It could have been a decision that was based out of the fact that of your want, that you didn't have something and you needed something. Maybe, you know, you were hungry or whatever, and the devil took advantage of that situation in your life. And that's exactly what the devil will do. The Bible shows us right here that after they eat the potters, the Bible says that they cried out. A cry of fear, perhaps, somewhat. A cry of sorrow. How many families this very moment are crying out in sorrow? How many families this very moment are crying out in sorrow because the devil's done come in and made short work of their life? The devil's done come in and ransacked everything that they had. Everything that the life that they had. And because they were ignorant of the devil's devices, because they didn't submit themselves to God and wasn't growing in the knowledge and the grace of God daily and taking up that cross, they were ignorant of his devices. And the devil took a beachhead, an advantage of their life. And when he came in, he completely wrecked everything that they had because they didn't see and understand what was going on and what was happening. And listen, I wonder how many families today, our families all across America, families all across the world, I guarantee you this very moment that they're saying, if I could go back to that decision right there, I'd have never made this one. If I could go back to that decision right there, I'd have never done it. If I could go back to that one right there, if I could go back, how much sorrow we would have kept from taking place, and all the agony and all the pain and all these different things. But we see there in verse 40 and the verses previous, the devil takes advantage of the fact that we don't know. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. When you have a lack of knowledge, the Bible also tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. And if we have no vision, if we have a lack of knowledge, then we're going to be lacking in vision. And so how are we ever going to see that which God wants us to see? How are we ever going to understand that which God wants us to understand if we are a people that is drifting further and further away from God? The Bible says here in our text, he says, listen, they poured out to the men and they did eat, and it came to pass as they were eating the pottage that they cried out. And there's people this very morning, this very second, that are crying out today because of the suffering that has been endured on their life, because of the decisions that they made, because they didn't know. I'm just telling you this morning, as God's people, we got to make sure, you know, that we're telling everybody this, listen, that there's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. Let me ask you this. If you was eating something this morning or drinking something this morning, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that somebody poisoned it before you got it. If I knew it. If you was eating something this morning and I knew that somebody poisoned what you were about to eat, would you desire for me to tell you? Would you want me just to let you suffer the results for yourself? What would you want me to do? Somebody tell me. You want, you say, well, that would be stupid to say. Why wouldn't you tell me? That would be so ignorant. That would be so, why would you say, listen, somebody's poisoned my food and I'm about to eat it. You weren't going to tell me. Why would you do that? You say, that is ignorant. That is so dumb. Why would you do that? Exactly. It's exactly what I'm trying to say. Listen, there's people going to listen, whether it's preachers or evangelists or even to each other, just regular laymen. We're just going out and listening. Not that we're trying to be judging on people and all of that. Listen, I know that we all sin. None of us is perfect. Listen, I get it. But it doesn't mean that we still don't tell people that there's death in the pot.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Just telling somebody what Jesus said is not being judgmental.
That's right.
It's telling you there's death in the pot. And if you keep eating that and you keep drinking that, you're going to die. Does that sound right? I mean, am I just in my own little world here or am I, listen, I'm just trying to get you to see and understand. I'm just trying to get us to see and understand. Listen, the Bible says we don't go out and judge. Listen, I get that. I get it. We also got to understand that God gave us a perfect word. And we preach the perfect word of God as it is to men as they are. Without exception. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we preach the truth. I mean, would you want me to say there's just a little poison in it, or would you want me to tell you the full brunt of what they put in there? Would you want me to say, well, it's only going to hurt you a little bit? Or would you want to just sit there and just let me just watch you just ingest all of it into your life and bring it all to your family and destroy them all? You would say that is crazy. Well, don't get mad when somebody says there's death in the pot. When somebody says there's death in the pot. Listen, man, I'm telling you that the devil's got people so messed up today that when somebody cries there's death in the pot, they would rather just say, just let me eat it and figure it out myself. You say, well, that's ignorant. Why would you say something like that? It happens every day. Every day. Every day. These men cried out, I think they're in verse 40. They said, the Bible says they cried out and they said, oh, thou men of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. You know why they cried out? Because they cared for everybody that was ingesting the poison. They cared for everybody that was ingesting the poison into their life. And the Bible says they cried out. And he says, oh, thou men of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But I want you to notice this. We're going to finish with this. The Bible says there, what's the cure to the whole thing? Is it the preacher? No. Is it, watch what happens there in verse 41. The Bible says, but he said, bring the meal. Say, well, what does the meal have to do with it? Well, for one, we're going to see that there is a miracle getting ready to take place. But did you know, and just to throw this out there too, the fact that we're saved this morning, that all of our sins have been forgiven, and the fact that we're saved today, that is a miracle. It's a miracle. The fact that all of our sins have been washed away, that God sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross for everyone who desires to believe, and that He came not into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If you, and the very fact that God did that, and that He sent His only begotten Son to that willfully, that His only begotten Son went to that old rugged cross to take your sin upon Himself, that He that knew no sin became sin for us, and that while we were dead in trespasses and sin, He became sin for us. And when God poured down His wrath upon His Son, that the Lord did that the whole world, the Bible says, the whole world went dark. As God poured His wrath out on His Son, which should have been for you and me. And whenever that happened, we see and understand the grace of God. And there in verse 41, what is the answer? What is the answer to the sin that we've allowed to come into our life? What is the answer to our cries that we're crying out? What is the answer for it all?
In verse 41, he says, bring the meal. Well, the meal there was used in meal offerings. The meal there is ground out flour, which is also what they crushed the wheat from and made bread from. The Lord Jesus is what? The bread of heaven. The Lord Jesus is the bread of heaven. He's known as the true bread of heaven. And what is it that is going to take care of and fix and get rid of the poison that is in our, that has affected our lives and our families? It's Christ Himself. That is the answer to the whole thing. It's Christ Himself. So there in verse 41, he says, but you know, what has to happen to this meal? What happened to this meal when they throw it in there? Did he just throw a loaf of bread in there? No. What did he throw in there? Meal. You know what happened to that meal? It was once grain. You know what happened to that grain? It was ground up. It was pulverized. It was beaten. That's what happened to that meal. That meal was growing out there in the field, and the seeds was growing off of it, and they brought it back. And they began to pulverize it, and they began to beat it, and they began to punish this meal until they ground it that into which they needed it to be. The same thing that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The true bread from heaven that came down from heaven. The true bread that came down to this earth. And what happened? He was beat, he was bruised, he was taken to that old rugged cross, he shed his blood for the sins of the world so that we can be saved by the poison that runs through our veins. And what is that? That we're all born with a sin nature. And listen, none of us here this morning is perfect. We understand that. We're all lost if you're not saved this morning. You're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and I love you enough to tell you that. And God didn't call me. God didn't call me to preach to make people happy. God didn't call me to preach to tell for me to tell everybody what they want to hear. God called me to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, and that's exactly what I'll do until the day that I die, Lord willing. I pray God always do. Listen, I love it when we preach sermons that make us feel good. And I love it when we preach things and we do things that, man, we walk out of church and we just say, wow, man, I'm so thankful. Listen, we can do that this morning. Just because I'm telling you that we're all sinners don't mean we can't walk out of here and say, I'm so thankful for the grace of God that I'm saved and not on my way to a devil's hell today. Listen, man, we got so much to be thankful for. We got so much to raise our hands up and just bless God for. But there in verse 41, we see that he says, bring the meal, a representation of who Christ is and what happened to him in his life, that he was beaten for the people, that he was ground up in essence for the people. And the Bible says, and he cast it into the pot. And this pot that was on the fire, and it was doing what? It was boiling. And the Lord Jesus, he suffered the fires of judgment, did he not? They cast it in this pot that was boiling. They cast it in this pot that was seething. And the Lord Jesus, he suffered there on that cross. And they cast the meal into the pot, and he said, pour it out for the people that they may eat. And watch this now. And there was no harm in the pot. The problem is that we see is they needed this missing ingredient in their life. And that was the Lord Jesus. The missing ingredient of the whole thing. That was Christ. Lots of people that are living their life today, doing everything they can to live it their own way. And the Bible says that man, that he will walk in his own way, he'll walk in his own direction. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And he'll walk in it in his own intellect, and he'll walk in it in his own path, and he'll walk in his own direction. He'll honestly feel like that he thinks he's doing the right thing. And he'll honestly, in his mind, the Bible says every man will profess his own goodness, because nobody wants to look at themselves and say, you know what, I'm lost and I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. Nobody wants to look at themselves and say that. Listen, I don't want to look at myself and say that, but because of God's word, I know that. And I also know that there's only one way that I can get to heaven. And Lord Jesus said that no man shall come to the Father but by me. And we understand that he's the way, the truth, and life, and that no man can come to the Father but by him. And we see where we're at this morning. We reach out our hand to an almighty God who's already gave his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And that when we come to the Lord Jesus, we can say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I see that I'm a sinner. I've gone in my own direction. I've lived my own way. But God, I know that you sent your son, the Lord Jesus. I'm asking for forgiveness today. I'm asking to be a part of your family. I believe that what you've done for me on that cross. I believe you died for me. I believe you shed for me. And I'm asking today that you'd save me.
me. And I guarantee you that if you lift up your hand, you'll see this hand's already there, willing to pull you up out of that miry clay, set your feet upon a rock, and put a new song in your mouth, and establish your steps in your life, and give you a sure footing. But there's people all around the world today, they're going in their own direction, that some of them mean right, some of them want to do well, and they think that, listen, I've got good intentions, but listen, good intentions never took nobody to heaven. Never did, not one time. Listen, there's lots of good people out there based on our own standards. There's lots of good people out there based on our own idea of what is good. They're doing everything they can to try to do right, doing everything they can to try to live right. They'll give you the shirt off the back. They'll do anything in the world for you. But they're lost. But they're lost. And one of the reasons why they're lost is because the little god of this age has darkened the hearts and minds of men. They can't see the light of the glorious gospel. Listen, it's up to us this morning. And churches like this scattered all around the world, that we'd be a light in the world of darkness. You know, it's interesting that when you see there in verse 39, the Bible says that one went out into the field to gather herbs. You know, that Hebrew word there for herbs can also be a word used for light. Went out in the world, tried to find a light. Lots of people are going out in the world today trying to find something. And as God's people, what we want to make sure that we do, listen, I've said it 5 times already in this message, from the pulpit to the pew, we're not perfect. Your preacher this morning isn't either. You understand it. You know that. I'm just a man. We're not perfect, and we don't live perfect lives. But I tell you what, I'm not going to just use that as an excuse not to try to live for God. Some days I do good. Some days I don't do as good. Some days I wish I did better than others. But I can tell you this. You don't know who Jesus is. And if you die today and you die lost, you will go to a devil's hell. But you don't have to. You don't have to. And God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for you. He has paved the way. You go back to the book, you go back to where Moses is, and you see all the people they had sinned. And the Bible told Moses, he says, you take a pole and you put a serpent on that brazier, you put a serpent on that pole. And he says, and all that look to him will be healed. And listen, we've all been affected today by the bite of sin in our life. And we all need that one person that can do for us what nobody else can, and that's Christ. The Bible says, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And that's what we want to do. We just want to lift up Jesus, not each other. We want to lift up Jesus so everybody can see Him. That if they'll call out to Him, they can be saved. That they can find relief. That they can find the answer. That they can find the comfort that they're looking for in Him. Because there's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. And we need to love each other enough and love this world enough to tell them that there's death in the pot. You say, why? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's pray this morning.
Lord, as we come before You today, we pray and ask God that You would examine our hearts. Lord, that You'd help us to examine our own selves. Not our brothers and sisters in Christ, but for every man to examine his own self, to see where he's at in his life. If there's one here today that's not saved, then I pray that today would be that day that they would speak out to You about salvation. Lord, if there's one here today that's just gotten a guilty distance away from You, they're saved, but they just walked away for whatever reason, that, Lord, that You would help them to see this morning that You love them and You care about them and You desire for them to come back. As the piano plays today, nobody's looking but me and the Lord. If you're here this morning, you can say, preacher, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. But this morning, I'd like to come to know Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that if I died today, that without a shadow of a doubt, that I know that I would be there in heaven. That speaks of you this morning, and nobody's looking but me and the Lord, but would you just slip your hand up so I can see you? I'm here today. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. Anybody like that here this morning? Slip your hand up high so I can see you. Could just be that you're here this morning and you're just saying that, you know what? I've gotten away from God, but I need to come back. And I'm praying this morning the Lord will hear my voice from heaven. Forgive me and save me. Just give me a fresh start with Him. As we stand to our feet, as we open up the altar this morning, if you'd like to come, I encourage you to come. Whatever it could be. If it's about salvation, you grab me by the hand and say, "Preacher, I want to get saved." Who can get saved? The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Whosoever will. Whosoever. Could be they're just battling and struggling with different things in life. Maybe they're just uncertainties. Could be this morning you just want to come and just intercede for somebody else. Maybe you have family that's lost. Friends, co-workers, whoever it could be. And you want to bring them before Jesus this morning. No greater time than right now. Could be that you need wisdom and guidance and instruction. I encourage you to come. As the altars fill this morning, lots of folks up here praying today. Whatever it could be, you kneel down at this old-fashioned altar and you just give it to God. The Bible says He knows what we have need of before we even ask. Maybe your prayer this morning is that God would just help you to open up your eyes so that you could see. God, help me to see that which you need me to see. God, help me to hear that which you need me to hear. I'm thankful that we serve a God today that knows the thoughts and the intentions of all of our hearts. He says, "Cast all your care upon me, for I careth for you." No matter what it may be, no matter how small it may seem in your sight or the sight of somebody else, God cares about it, I believe, if you care about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And I did want to say thank you. Of course, I said earlier, I don't know if you heard me or not, but you did help us to set a record today.